Here's my awesome catch line, everybody. My catch line. Everybody has to have a catch phrase. And my catch phrase is, hey, everybody out there in music video land. My name is Adam Fairholm, and welcome to, oh, God, another edition of the Music Video Land podcast. The weekly, little weekly roundup that we do with myself. I am Adam Fairholm, one of the creators of IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. And with me, as per usual, is Mr. Douglas Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Super good. That's my catchphrase.
We all have a catchphrase. And then a man who does not have a catchphrase as of yet, but we can probably fix that, is Mr. Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how are you?
I'm excellent.
You can, what do you think of, like, sizzle pop? How about that? How about that for your thing? How you doing, Adam? Sizzle pop. It, like, doesn't make any sense, but it's exciting and it's fresh.
And then every time we ask you, or anytime, like, you interject with anything, it's like, zip. Zip zap zip it a zap rap, zizzle pop.
Try any of those at any point.
Or like,
it'll be funny to me.
You could have like sound effects. So like, if you liked a video, you could have like one of those like New Year's Eve like that, those noisy things. And if you didn't like it, we could get you like a slide whistle.
And like you rate things. It's like, what do you think of
alienate a few listeners?
No, because this podcast.
Let's try it real quick. Do like a, let me hear like a real quick like positive review of something. Just say something was good.
So good. This is all what we're doing, as we do every week, is we talk about this week in music videos, because a shit ton of me, the flow never stops. It's like somewhere along the line somebody just cut the pipe open, and it's just people are making music videos and they come out every day and there's no stopping them. So we catalog them, and we also track the views and stuff like that. And on Friday morning, or Friday afternoon, I should say, we publish the most popular views, music videos of the weekend. This will be an interesting week because, you know, right now Lily Allen's Heart out there is hovering around 3 million views. But we know there's a big video dropping tomorrow at noon from our friends at Uprising Creative. Doug, tell us about it.
Yes, tomorrow there is a video. Sorry, tomorrow there's a Rihanna video coming out that we're all excited about. This one was shot recently. It's for the song What Now? And like Adam mentioned, it's directed by the Uprising Creative. And that comes out tomorrow at noon Eastern. Noon Eastern, I believe. Maybe it's noon Pacific. I'm pretty sure it's noon Eastern. Look out for that. And
it's probably noon Eastern. But we should mention we're recording this on a Thursday night. And so we released it on a Friday morning. And so it'll just be a few hours away from that. But, you know, there have been instances where really popular videos have come along on a Friday and knocked off the number one. It happens. And Rihanna's for September, Poured Up was October was the most popular video of October. So she has a pretty good track record right now.
I think that in reality, it's definitely would be on the list. Like, it's definitely going to get the necessary views in the amount of time. What might hold it from being on our list technically is just YouTube publishing those numbers and getting it right. It could 301.
Yeah. and maybe we should explain for viewers what the 301 is.
Yes, and especially because they've actually been for specifically Vivo videos, it hasn't been happening for some of them, and they've just been counting all the views. So, do you want to take it? Do you think you've got a pretty good grasp of it, Adam?
I think I do have a pretty good grasp, and my understanding of the 301 issue is that people have referred to it as a caching issue, like, oh, the cache is stuck at, but you know, 300 or 301, but it's not true. It's actually YouTube. Their algorithms look at how fast the video is growing, and if it's just growing really quickly, it'll just stop it at 301 to assess that the views are actual people and it's not being gamed by the system.
Right.
Because YouTube has had, you know, pretty big problems with that in the past, especially with music videos. So that is what is happening. So once it kind of passes the test, I'm not really sure what sort of test it is, but once it passes the test, there we go.
I think they probably – it's just probably something that they look to see if those views come from a variety of different sources and that kind of thing. And You know, because if it was 300 million views and it all came from like one boat in the middle of the ocean, everyone knows that there was some man on a boat watching that video over and over again. But yeah, so it makes sense that some of the Vivo accounts would kind of get a pass and would be able to circumvent that that 301 issue. And so yeah, they've been giving. I've seen certain Vivo videos just count. Have a running count. So the ones that we've seen other videos show up on the list, show up on the top 10 list that came out the day of. But for the most part, those have all been like they came out early in the day. They came out at like midnight or something like that. Like it wasn't a noon release. A noon release is gonna be it's gonna be tough for them to get on top of that view. What right now is sitting
at the top? It's Lily Allen. But I actually wanted to bring
but
up
what, some... but what gets them on the list at least. 39,000 is all they need to kind of crack. So I think
yeah, it's
I
a
think,
low, it's a low number a week. But yeah,
I wanted, so anyway,
yeah. Actually, speaking of Vivo, there was an interest. I don't know if you guys saw this. I posted on Saturday. This comment has an explain like I'm a subreddit called explain like I'm five, where people are supposedly supposed to explain you know complicated concepts. Simply, and one of the question was, I gotta edit this out.
It's fine.
One of the questions was, Vivo, what is it? What does it do? And why does everybody seem to hate it? So the one of the top comments there that got gold was somebody explaining kind of the origins of Vivo. Did you guys see this?
I saw that you posted it.
And Adam, did you see this?
No, I didn't see it at all.
So it's and the source he says I was a YouTube software engineer who worked on the Vivo launch and I thought this was really interesting so it's really short and I'll just kind of read it and paraphrase it. He says YouTube and Google was in danger of being sued by Sony Music, UMG Music. To prevent a potentially devastating lawsuit, Google's CEO at the time, Eric Schmidt, made a deal with Doug Moore, CEO of Sony Music, to build a parallel video platform based on YouTube technology. Where Sony could control the monetization settings and sell their own ads. Vivo version 1 was basically a shell website that hosted an embedded YouTube player, which in turn loaded Vivo's own ad module at runtime. This allowed YouTube to keep the music video content, provided a link was present to the official Vivo page, effectively a rebranded YouTube page. The videos were still hosted on YouTube. So, I mean, that's obviously Vivo version 1.0 a few years ago, but I thought that was a
and really... that was pre any ads on YouTube, right?
You know, I'm not really sure about that, but I think so.
Yeah, because a lot of people associated ads with Vivo coming to YouTube, and I kind of remember that kind of happening along the same time too. And not to say that you know YouTube would have monetized anyway, in one way or another. But
well, you know, and also the big thing that's going on right now is the whole Google Plus integration of YouTube, and people are really kind of upset with some of the changes, but. So it's
yeah, that's definitely. Pretty annoying. I kind of agree with those. It's been annoying.
Yeah, it's confusing, actually.
Yeah, there was a great post, a video by a guy who apparently makes his living. Apparently, people make their livings off YouTube, and he was just really he just laid it out and all the you know we'll link to it. I'll dig it up. It was a really kind of concise video explaining like. Here's what they did, and here's how it's completely screwed up. Like, the way comments are ranked is different. Just the whole Google Plus integration seems to miff people, but that's the way it goes. But, I mean, that's kind of in our ballpark a little bit because YouTube is where people, you know, watch music videos for the most part, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That is – and when they're not watching it there, it frustrates us.
Yeah, exactly. But it's on – Facebook and
when it premieres with QVC.com it's also
but and for anybody who is interested in the kind of Facebook premiere thing, we did a great interview with Cameron Duddy, not because of us, because he was awesome last week, that you'll find in the podcast feed, where he talks about at the end the music video premiere of Gorilla by Bruno Mars, which was on Facebook, and he had some interesting inside information about that. But anyway, we should get to Lay Music videos. I can't believe I said that. The music videos.
Yeah. What are we doing first? Are we doing new? Are we going to do the new ones first? Are we going to do the faves?
I said we do the. Let's talk a little bit about the top ones because the one that was is maybe the number one for the week is Lily Allen's Heart Out There, which made a lot of news during the week, directed by Mr. Chris Sweeney, Christopher Sweeney, as he is credited in at on and off his full name and his short name. And this is
we have a Miss Chris,
right, as a sort of canonical one. But if he's credited somewhere differently, we also make a note of that. But this is sort of the return of Lily Allen. If anybody is kind of followed her career, she put out two albums and she disappeared for a while. She had two children and married. I can't remember who she married. It was some dude. Changed her name.
Billy to Allen.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a shitty joke.
And yeah,
then she comes out with this, and it was a very interesting video. What did you guys think?
It's a great video. I really liked the video, and I liked the song. And I think this is it like kind of addresses this a lot of the things that you're talking about, as well as a lot of other cool funny things. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I really liked it. Another one of those rare occasions where the most popular meets up with my favorite. And this would be my number two, actually, this week. So.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
And were you a Lily Allen fan before? Are you a Lily Allen fan in general?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Nice. Yeah, I am as well. And I thought it was definitely different. Lily Allen is somebody who is not known for playing with autotune, and her voice is sort of weirdly, I think a little bit needlessly autotuned in this song, but that's the song. But the whole concept is, you know, it's kind of a satirical take at videos, just music videos, just in the way that the song is kind of a satirical take on, you know, I don't know, women's issues, something like that. Just general
misogyny, objectification. Misogyny,
yeah, stuff like that.
Especially in pop, I think, which is kind of the irony, right? Because she is and always has been pop.
Right. I don't think it's like in general women's issues. She doesn't get into like any abortion talk or anything like that.
That'll be the next video.
Right. It's about, women in pop music. And this song kind of addresses it in music, and the video kind of addresses it in music videos, but also in music as well. And the... it's super funny, and she's really great in it. She's super, super funny in the video.
Yeah, it's, I mean, she definitely looks different than she has before, if we, like, compare her look now to, like, the Sarah Chatfield video for, what's that called, Elfie.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was a clever thing to have her start kind of underneath the surgeon's table with, you know, the cloth over. But the one direct reference that I think people have been picking up on is the tear your ass into reference to Blurred Lines, which I always thought was a really kind of dumb, weirdly violent lyric from Blurred Lines that she parodies in this. And she definitely has to. There's Lily Allen never really errs on the side of ambiguity, like even in, you know, like songs like The Fear and It's Not Fair, I think that one's called. She never hints at things. So like in the song, she's like, by the way, this is a sarcasm.
I think she's always been very conscientious of the negative aspects of pop as well as the upside of it. And she's always acknowledged that with The Fear and other songs as well, this one especially.
Yeah, and I actually thought she wasn't coming back. I knew she was maybe working on new material, but I was completely surprised. It kind of came out of
really
the blue.
Quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there was some speculation that because she had gained a little bit of weight from the children that she may not return. So this was kind of addressing that issue. She was saying, like, not only am I returning, but here's this awesome thing. So
yeah, and she's like, She looks fine. I mean, there's.
Oh, she looks great.
Yeah.
I think she looks awesome.
So we should mention that there was a little bit of controversy that came from this video this week as well. Most of the reception was very high. I think obviously a lot of people watched it. 3 million is relatively high for the top of the list, unless you're talking about, you know, Rihanna and Eminem. 3 million is a pretty solid week, and so in her parodies of other music videos and objectification and stuff, she's got a group of backup dancers who are twerking and dancing aggressively and grinding and that kind of thing. And all of these women are black. And so there had been a lot of people who seemed to focus specifically on the race of these women and have called Lily Allen mean things and claim that there are racial undertones used in the video or something to that effect. And so I think it's worth bringing that up. I think that that's a silly thing that people are thinking and saying, but it is a thing that they are saying and thinking.
And I always feel kind of... This is something that is done relatively frequently, right? The using sort of backup hip hop dancers who are like shaking their butts around to like ironically. So
it's used seriously and ironically. I think it's like, for example, in we Can't Stop by Miley, it's used in both ways, I think.
Right. And it's like I feel like it must be weird for the women who are the people who they call when they need, like, you know, the people to like shake their butts around for like this Lily Allen video. They're like, by the way, you know, this video is about, you know, like making fun of the objectification of women, and you, the thing that you do that like we're calling you in to do is the thing like that we're kind of we're not happy about. So let's you know, and remember the Fuck Shit Stack video by Reggie Watts? He's the same thing where he's like, he has a whole verse about like objectification and like, you know.
Right, you can see the lampshade on women's heads.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the woman that he's hired, you know, to be, you know, dance in a bikini in the video. I always thought it was a weird dynamic. I don't know if it really means anything, but, you know,
they still have to get like a bikini chick to do the stuff. Like, and like they like, and it does always make me think like about like shooting this video, they still had to shoot asses like in slow motion being slapped, like even though they're making fun of it, and there's a deeper point with what they're doing instead of just like, here, look at this shaking ass, like,
and there's some great shaking ass shots in this video.
Oh, these women are pros, and I think that was Lily Allen's point, is that like she looked for the best ass shakers, and these are the best. You know what I mean? She didn't choose these women based on their race, and she certainly wasn't going to turn people away because she was like, well, we need to get a white woman in here too, so let's not hire this best ass shaker because she's black, because we need to also have like a diverse group of ass shakers. Like, I don't think...
She had binders full of white women.
And she could have picked it. None of them were good enough.
Adam, do you get that reference? Do you guys follow American politics up there?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was like a Tumblr whole thing.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot that.
It was everywhere. Binders of women.
That's the only
American politics that I have ever followed.
Oh man, you're so lucky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh wow, that's going back.
Yeah,
we're going. Just people who are listening to this who don't even know what that is.
you're so lucky though. Whenever I go up to Canada, I turn on the news. Well, I got the Rob Ford thing, but usually it's they don't really have much. They just like completely ignore the American. You know, they're a little bit of above it. They're like, hey, look at what this crazy, what kind of crazy shit's going on in America? And everybody laughs at them. So anyway.
And then the Rob Ford thing. He's glazed over that one. Sitting mayor actively smoking crack. That's
the fourth largest city in North America.
That's a
great. He paid for some prostitutes and he smokes crack.
Have you seen the Tumblr of like Canada. it's just like the 40 best pictures of him and they all just like in context, like knowing he's this crazy crackhead, like all of these pictures of him just like laughing and like dilated pupils. It's just like a really, what a weird story. Back to Lily Allen. No.
Well, we should move on from the, you know, the criticism that Lily Allen got was very similar to the one that somebody in the number two spot got, which is Miley Cyrus, and she was in the future Real and True video. I don't know if you guys want to talk about this video, but
yeah, no, we should definitely talk about this video. But so real quick, Well, whatever. We don't need to talk about the baggy vagina balloons. All of-
That was great.
But she's actively making fun of Miley Cyrus in this video. So, like, anyway.
It's complicated. Anyway. There's, somebody's going to write a dissertation paper on this.
Oh, that would be sweet. When we put out I don't want to give away the playbook. Future Real and True. Yeah, let's definitely talk about this video because I have some thoughts about this video too. I think this is a really well made video. It features Future and Mr. Hudson as astronauts who go and save an alien version of Miley Cyrus. But like Adam Alexander, I remember you messaging us on Facebook and saying like, oh well, let's like you basically penciled this in as the top of the week, and I thought you were going to be absolutely right too, just because Miley is in the video. But I think this video makes me realize that you can't just shove Miley in a video and expect it to be the number one of the week. You still have to make like a good video, and I think this is a great video. You know, like I think this is a like I said, a really well made video, and it's number two of the week. But like Miley isn't enough to be popular, and I think that like those videos that she was in that did kind of knock everybody's socks off. I think it's important to kind of recognize that it wasn't just because it's Miley's in the video at this point. Like those videos had a lot of substance beyond that.
Yeah, they're not impenetrable. The Miley appearances.
Totally. And then, so anyway, should we talk about the video after I said all that?
But Adam, when you penciled that in, did you see it as a high quality video?
Yeah, but I was more referring to Miley's in a video. This will probably be number one.
Well, I think that for me, this video is represent.
And she's naked, right?
Yeah,
naked. I mean, it's got a headline written
partially.
Miley in body paint.
So this represents a little bit of, there's a bit of a, I would call it a white whale, for lack of a better term, of making a good, like high production value space themed music video. And I think the last real good crack at it was the Katy Perry featuring Kanye West video for E.T., which I think was all kinds of wrong. And it wasn't the video's fault, it was because it's one of the dumbest songs in the world ever, even though it was very popular.
I think that this video might be suffering from that as well.
No, but I feel like that they.
It's like this song is. I mean, Future is bad.
Yeah, Future is terrible.
Future is a bad person at things that involve a microphone and wearing sunglasses. But anyway,
but it's just
Future is bad.
But it's just. I think the video is. Rankin, which directed it, did a fantastic job of the look and feel of the video and the pacing
visually.
Of it. Oh, yeah. I think it worked really, really well there.
Yeah, but conceptually it's weird and kind of creepy, too.
And it's such a bad song. Like, I can't get off of that. Like, I think Miley sounds pretty good in it.
Her parts were good.
No. Yeah. Future is unbearable to listen to. He's unbearable, especially his verses. Like I've never heard like a Future only verses. Song. I've heard like Future on Rick Ross songs and stuff where he's just kind of like singing the choruses and stuff, and like that hasn't been terrible. But to hear him go from like chorus to hymn to chorus again, it was bad. Oh, so bad. It's so hard to listen to. Just like horrible sounding and dumbass lyrics. Anyway, Future sucks.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. It's just like we said with 2 Chainz. Like he's like a crazy uncle. It's like you want him to show up at Thanksgiving because he makes it more interesting. But like you don't want to go spend a weekend getaway with a crazy uncle.
I would spend 1,000 years with 2 Chainz before I spend a weekend with Future.
I think that's the name of the podcast: 1,000 years with 2 Chainz.
So the question is: of these 2 million views, who tuned in for Future and who wanted to see Miley in body paint?
The video is sitting at 2.3 million views, I think. I'm going to give 0.3 to Future. and the rest go to Miley.
That's generous, though. That's pretty generous. Right now, I mean, Miley Cyrus is obviously like video bait. Even though, no, I think everything she's done has turned out pretty well in the view count area. But this is the highest concept thing she's done in a while, and you know, sometimes the high concept stuff doesn't garner the views as much. I mean, there was a lot of press around, you know, the body paint and the kind of the concept of the video, but it deviated a little bit from the story the media loves, which is, you know, Miley out of control teen, you know, the Miley out of control, you know, art alien, you know, doesn't really, like, you know, have the same kind of zing to it. But anyway, it was that was a good video, and you know, I don't mind the future as much. So I have a really hard time telling, just like country singers, I have a hard time telling between rappers. They have to be really distinctive for me to really tell the difference between them. So
really, I mean, this guy is all auto-tune. I didn't pick up on the auto-tune in Lily Allen. But Future is 100% auto-tune. I don't know if he has a real voice.
Like, he might be just a robot. Yeah, Future the robot.
So it's important to note, though, that Future has, like, I mean, his fucking name is Future. And, like, he has, like, a lot of, like, space, and he had a mixtape called The Astronaut Kid, and he...
Yeah.
He makes, like, these... It, like, space is part of him. Stupidest thing I've ever said. It's building on... This video builds on that. At least it's not like just I was like, oh, here's a song about Miley and Future singing about love. What should we do? Space. Like, it's a little bit more thought out than that. But, like, yeah, you're right. High concept. Maybe it doesn't work for this stuff. You look at the videos that... Well, I don't know. We Can't Stop's, like... Kind
that's
of high
pretty
concept.
Conceptual. That's pretty high concept too, I'd say.
Well, I mean, it's not her in
a real high concept, but
yeah, I guess it's high concept if you're thinking about it, but it's not. It doesn't have to be. You could just say that's Miley partying in a house and going in a pool, and that's not high concept. I mean, it's a weird party, but like just because we see the deeper meaning in there doesn't mean everybody does.
But it's like, you know, when Katy Perry did the whole, you know, Teenage Dream videos, there was the Last Friday Night and the one with Snoop Dogg, the California Girls, that garnered a lot of attention. And then came, you know, then came the higher concept stuff like E.T. and like The One That Got Away. And
they're not on that level.
Yeah. I want to talk about Worst Behavior by Drake, though. Do you guys want to talk
about that? Yeah, all right, fine. We can push through the Chris Brown directed Kid Ink video. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's a party video, and it was well done, but I don't think there's too much to talk about there.
No, there's not. I'm down to talk about Worst Behavior, especially because it's a 10-minute music video.
I know. Well, I was thinking about this the other day, just watching these interminable skits on this 10-minute music video. And I was thinking, like, because as we all know, hip hop has a long standing love affair with skits. Oh my god, I thank Jesus Lord every day that they moved off the albums, and I think having a skit on an album is seen as a little old fashioned. Doug, would you back me up on this?
For the most part, yes. Like, in about 99% of the time. The one time that I thought that the skits actually added to the album was on the Kendrick Lamar album.
I don't even consider those skits, though.
Yeah, no, they're just, like, little pieces, because it is, like, part of, like, a longer story. I mean, there have been times on, like, I remember, like, on the Dragon opposite of H2O album, they literally, there's a skit of them beating up a retarded person in a wheelchair, and the whole reason behind it is because they're Rough Riders. It's like they shoot him, and they're just like Rough Riders, and like that's it. Like he starts talking shit to him a little bit, but like that skit's got nothing to do with an album. It's got no story arc. It's just them beating up a retarded person, So I definitely agree that there's been some ridiculously absurd skits in hip hop history, and for the most part they're the worst.
But I think they've moved. I mean, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, right? And it has to be. It has to go somewhere. And I think it's bubbling up in music videos like this because this. I mean, the middle music video thing or the middle skit that I watched the entirety of. I still don't know what is going on, but. I mean, but the thing is that the whole like the music video portions of it are really amazing. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Memphis, but I spent a little. I've spent some time there, and it was the people from Memphis are really super proud of Memphis. So I think maybe the people from Memphis like this video, but especially the intro with like all the the old studios and stuff like that was kind of cool, and then the older guys, the guy whose task it was to deliver the Drake lines did such an amazing job. So many times, like when people take that concept,
not his dad is in there somewhere.
Really?
I don't have any idea. It could be.
I think that might have been his dad that did that.
Well, whoever it is, because there's like a whole bunch of older guys who like they're like a band and stuff. But I thought that was fantastic too. That guy, and I also really enjoyed this video. It's got some similarities. The skit, obviously, it's got this. It's the skit that you're talking about has got Project Pat and Juicy J, and then Obi O'Brien and Ryan Silverstein. Those two guys are the same two guys from the Started from the Bottom video, who are at the CVS or whatever at the drugstore. And I guess those guys are also like childhood friends of Drake or something like that. But anyway, that the skit in this video is just it seems like it's completely improvised, first of all. And it's just like excuse me, it's just that guy Obi O'Brien just like word diarrhea on top of Project Pat and Juicy J, and he keeps calling. What does he keep calling Project Pat? Like Prodigy or something? I can't remember now.
He calls him a bunch of different weird.
Like different nicknames and stuff. I think it goes on for a long time in this video. Like you think it's about to end when Project Pat and Juicy J drive away, and then it goes on for like three more minutes. and I love the skit of the Start from the Bottom video.
Yeah, that was good.
And like I thought it was really great. I thought both these guys were really good in that skit, and I think they're good in this video too. I think it runs on a little bit long. An interesting point is, or an interesting note, I saw Isaac Bauman who shot this video, and I think he like, it looks beautiful, and the music video portion of not the skit portion, I really enjoyed. I think it's really great. He didn't even know it was going to be a 10-minute-long video. Like when he posted it on Facebook, he was like, "Here's the Drake video I got that apparently now is a 10-minute-long epic, crazy music video." Like that's an interesting concept. Like director of photography, like not really knowing after they shoot it, like what's it going to look like in the back end. And
he was probably walking away from it like, "Oh, they got to cut that shit down." And we should mention that director X and Drake both share the directing credits.
Just like on Started from the Bottom.
Right.
Just to confirm, too, I just checked, and that was definitely Drake's dad, Dennis Graham, that does the lip sync at the beginning.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. That's great. That's sweet.
He bears almost zero resemblance to Drake, but he's really, really good at it. So many times when they like they kind of cart the old people in, they're like, now you sing the lyrics of the song. it's...
I've tried to do it.
Yeah, you tried to do it. I've tried to do it. We will not link to that in the show notes, but
no, we won't.
But it's it ends up being a funny effect. But this guy, like, he sold it, and it really worked really well.
Yeah, it's hit or miss with old people lip syncing. It either works really well, and it blows your mind, they like really get into it, you know what I mean, and they embody that character, and then other times they just look like they have no idea what they're doing or no idea what's going on, and they're always offbeat and stuff, and that
was an Angel Hayes video earlier this year that did it really well. It was old people and other assorted freaks, but they all lip synced well.
Assorted freaks. You guys remember that one? Yeah, I think. We'll try to.
Was it? Angel what was Hayes. the Josh Forbes one?
Yeah, it was real weird.
No, the Angel Hayes one was good. There's another one, a Josh Forbes one. I'm trying to think. Adam, do you remember? I think it was Felix Cartel, World Class Driver. Do you remember that one?
No.
That's a crazy one. They're like covered in lipstick and like eating candy. Anyway, that's a good one.
So what videos did you guys...
Well, I want to talk real quick about the Akon So Blue video as well, because that's an interesting story too, directed by Robbie Starbuck. Robbie Starbuck and Akon collaborated on several music videos together. One that was like leaked for a moment last week, we put up on the site, and then it got taken down. And these videos have been done. The one in the chamber video that was out for like an hour last week and then came and then was pulled and then is now apparently going to come out after So Blue, that's been done for like a year. Like these videos have been, they've been really like working on a big kind of project together. Each one of the videos that Akon and Robbie are working on together are going to have a version with performances and a version without performances that are just narrative. There's going to be like director's cuts. And interestingly enough, the ones that they're calling the director's cuts are the ones with the performances. Like Robbie's really interested in those performance elements, where Akon is more interested in the story parts of it. So it's really interesting dynamic that's going on there. Did you guys check out the So Blue video?
I'm going to confess that I did not.
Adam?
Yeah, Saber. I watched it.
Yeah, you know, you're not so stoked on it?
There's a little bit of a story to it.
Okay, there is. I saw that.
Yeah. Kidnapping, maybe, and some flaming note.
Those things happen. They're big budget videos, so, which are cool, and Robbie Starbuck, and shot by Greg Emfrom, so we all know they're going to look good. But yeah, they're worth checking out, and look for, obviously, the director's cut of those. I guess we're looking at the director's cut? I'm confused now. I've confused myself. But yeah, I think that was a cool story that I told, though. I'm still proud of myself.
I'm very proud of you. And I actually had it in my sort of queue to watch, but I didn't get to it in time. It brings up interesting questions of the, because I've been writing a lot on the Music Video Relapse posts about different trends in sort of just like quick narrative like novelty concepts in a way that become, you know, music videos. And, you know, with the internet, we're, you know, there's stuff like this is possible, you know, longer narrative stuff like Drake's 10-minute video, Lady Gaga's Marry the Night video, which was felt like forever. Stuff like this is possible. So, you know, artists that are, you know, musical artists, I think often have a desire to, you know, be artists in other areas. So, you know, I feel like the Akon and Robbie Starbuck collaboration is probably, you know, that you know, dynamic is definitely playing out, because as you mentioned, you know, like the director cuts that Robbie puts together that are his director's cuts have the music in it. And
yeah, it's interesting. I think before we get away from the top 10 list, I want to talk about Mayday One Last Standing, just because they're a local act, and I gotta it's cool to see them up on this top 10 list. I honestly been following Mayday for a while, since they've basically been playing from just around here locally, and it's cool to see that. I'm cool. I didn't know there was like a Miami, the Miami music scene was able to extend into a top 10 list. Now it's at 60,000 views. It's lower than some of our other lists, but big up to Mayday and Kimbo Slice for making a ridiculous appearance in this music video. And it's directed by one of the guys in Mayday as well. So that's cool. Band member / director.
You have been following Mayday for a long time, and sometimes I get Kimbo Slice and Terry Crews mixed up, so I was like, Terry Crews is in another video, but Kimbo Slice is definitely different. And yes, the intensity that he is bringing to this video is a very intense video, especially because the Mayday guys are intense, and they're in your face for like the performance, you know, versions, and they have crazy beards, and I get a little scared. And especially when Kimbo Slice turns up on the scene, he's an intimidating
and
dude.
Tech Nine too is also, who features in the song, is also an in your face man.
Yeah, it's do you know if this was shot in Miami?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I know Kimbo Slice is local too, so I think it was. I think it is. They were just on tour, but I'm pretty sure this was shot locally.
Yeah, this looks like South Florida. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it is. I'm pretty sure, and it's got all this local crew that they always use, like all their videos. Like the band themselves recognize Burns. They're all like. The whole band kind of is typically involved a lot in the music videos, and they have like this the rest of the crew that's involved, like the AD and the DP and stuff. They're all local Miami guys, so they always work, collaborate together. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that this must have been shot down here for sure. That's my guess.
Well, Miami action,
Miami action, represent
Miami, so, Miami Vice. Music that's, video edition.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that is.
I don't even know that is either. Sorry.
So we might as well just wrap out this list. The list as it appears now. Maybe some stuff will move around. But tomorrow we got a Rihanna video coming out. One of the videos in our top 10 right now has been removed from YouTube.
I actually added this earlier today. Mercy Me, Shake by Mercy Me. Mercy Me is a Christian band, and the guy, the director, actually, you know, was like, "Thanks for adding our video." Irvin Joel Banta the fourth, which is one of the only director names I've seen that has the fourth next to it. So I don't know what happened with that, but anyway, I didn't see it. So, but it
it's a video. So we might as well talk about the number 10 on the list because this also appears on our best of the week list. It's Cage the Elephant, Come a Little Closer, directed by Isaac Rent. You guys watch this one?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a good one, right? It's a fun one.
It is Mr. Isaac Rentz, who is one of our. He has been on this podcast before.
It's a very podcast,
and this is what I really enjoy the animation. So this combines some of my favorite stuff: the animation interacting with live action, which I think they did extremely well, and really colorful like. Colorful, clean line animation. This is sort of Sergeant Pepper-ish. The Yellow Submarine-ish. If Yellow Submarine had been made in 2013, with brighter colors, it definitely has that kind of palette to it. And you know, a lot of the videos that I've been kind of going through over this past week, they all have this really kind of muted. Slightly desaturated color tone, which is fine. I mean, that works for a lot of stuff, but it's really fun to see like a really ridiculously colorful video come through the pipeline as well.
Totally. And with ridiculous colors. And I really like this one. And Isaac and Cage the Elephant, they've worked together a lot, and all of their collaborations have been really good videos. They've so you check them all out. Just watch them all.
Yeah, Isaac has done a lot of good, fun things with color. He did the Still Into You video by Paramore, which had some really interesting kind of color palette, you know, choices in it. As well as Come On, Let Me Ride Your Bicycle by Skylar Grey.
Yeah.
Which was more of like a just outdoor shots video. There wasn't really anything to play with, but he did some interesting
things. Well, some of the stuff that he did, like some of those inserts with her, like
in the pin-up stuff. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, that was good. You're right. Yeah, Isaac's one of the he's good at this music video thing.
So let's talk about some of the stuff that didn't chart or very well in terms of views that you guys liked. Adam, did you have anything that was one of your favorites from the week?
Yeah, I could talk about the Midnight Juggernauts video, which was actually, where does it premiere? It premiered somewhere and really annoyed me that it wasn't on YouTube.
Do tell us so we can add it to our ever-expanding shit list of things that premiere.
Yeah, it was somewhere. But regardless of that, awesome video. I'm going to attempt to say the director duo's name. I can't. Mrix? And Morisot.
Oh, this is the cat one.
The cat one. Yeah, that's the one. Exactly. And then I was really pleased to learn that this is the same duo that did the Jackson and His Computer Band video from last week, which I somehow slept on.
It was such a great video.
That, Yeah, that one blew me away. So, but I'm not talking about that one right now. Let's go back to Systematic. So, yeah, this was it's kind of what they do. These guys, they do these they're mostly non-narrative videos, but kind of these crazy montages of random imagery. And this one's all cats and amazing shots. There's one near the beginning that's almost indescribable. It's basically a pan shot of the cat's butthole, and you kind of like pan out from it. It's awesome. You got to see that. But yeah, just a really, really cool video. Just lots of really neat effects and camera shots. And
it's like when I was watching it, you know, I saw the screenshot. And I was like, oh, another fucking cat video, you know, because there's been so many of those, and cats are. You know, obviously very well tread on the internet, and then nobody's, you know, I thought, how are they going to do cats in a different way? And then, like, that shot you're talking about.
And you
about,
saw the butthole.
Yeah, that was like, and they just kept, it was just like a non-stop assault of just, like, ridiculous shit. It was an awesome video. And those guys, and you know, it's really like just like seeing like really colorful videos, seeing just like ridiculous videos like that still coming down the pipeline, I think is awesome. I love that stuff. I will always sit and like just like watch the entirety of one of those videos.
But I think that video should be staff picked. Let's staff pick that right
yeah,
now.
Go for it. And then you know, but when like Drake's skits come up, I tend to hit the
fast forward.
Well, there's no fast forward button on YouTube, but skip ahead. Skip ahead.
Cat butts over Drake's skits.
Yo, we'll finish the whole album, everything but the skits.
Adam Fairholme, what was your favorite of the week?
So the favorite of the week for me was something that we almost didn't, or there was a little bit of debate internally of whether to add it to the database after the fact, after it was added.
If it was already there.
Yeah, and that was the video for the second version of Portugal Demands Modern Jesus, this one directed by Elliot Sellers. And so the first one directed by A.G. Rojas was one of definitely, I think, will be something that I want to be included on our top of the year list. I thought it was an absolutely amazing music video. And this version too is a live version, but it was added to the database because of, you know, as so many music videos do, has so many blurred lines and blurred edges. This wasn't an acoustic version or anything. This was a very, very kind of faithful rendition of the song. And the actual performance, live performance aspect of it was very, you know, staged. And had music video elements to it. Like, so at the end, all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people in the room that they're playing in.
Yeah, it definitely appears like there's multiple takes.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's not shot in the way that, you know, like you haul everybody in there, and then you get like a bunch of cameras and stuff, and you just, you know, cut it up and post. This was very thought out and planned out. So, you know, I think if you look at, and every single week it happens like this, you look through the top, well, usually there's about 60 or 80 videos that come out. You look through that whole list, and the number of like performance videos just keeps getting smaller and smaller. And I think it's partially attributable to the fact that performance videos tend to, if they're not for huge bands, they get buried a lot because a lot of them tend to look the same. And a lot of bands now, you know, it's tough to pull off a good performance video. The band is almost doing all the heavy lifting, I think, in something like that. But, so when I see like a really like awesome, memorable performance video, like the second version of Modern Jesus, I think that's, really helpful, because this is a unbelievable performance video. Not in the way, I mean, these guys, if it was a different group of guys, I think it would have been a much different video. These guys are definitely like, I think I wrote a post about performance music videos, and I said, you know, they have to be like a bunch of weirdos that you want to look at, and you know, you want to look at them and be like, well, God, that guy looks like, that's a weird guy. Like, it may be uncomfortable to sit down with him at, like, a restaurant and, like, talk to him. And you get that feeling from all these people here. These are not, like, approachable people. Not like they're, like, you know, batshit insane or anything like that, but they're just, they're artists, you know? You get that. And Elliot Sellers, who directed the video, just does a fantastic job of not making it look like a performance, making it look like a film, it reminded me a lot of, like, the old, like, 70s and 80s film performance videos where they would do kind of like a setup like this and do the performance. So anyway, I loved this video, and that just came out earlier today.
Yep, earlier today.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic video, and if you want to, Adam describes the band Portugal the Mandas as a bunch of weirdos. If you want to see how weirdos, they're not really weirdos. I have proof, and that's in the interview that I did with John, the lead singer of Portugal the Man. You guys should check that out. It's on our blog. And in that interview, he talks about the first version of Modern Jesus. So maybe watch the second version and then go to this interview and watch the first version and then hear about it, or read about it, rather, in text. And then a text.
Hey, Doug.
Do that.
Hey, Doug, what did you like this week?
My favorite video is Lily Allen, probably.
That's a good choice, though.
I think my favorite video is Lily Allen. That's the video I've watched the most this week. I think I've watched it like 4 times because I really thought it was super funny. And I like to dance to that song.
What about Fork, bud? You were excited about Fork.
So Fork, I wanted to talk about Fork. It wasn't my favorite of the week, but I wanted to talk about Fork. It finally hit YouTube today, a couple hours ago. It's been out all week, but it premiered on fucking World Star Hip Hop. Like, what the heck? Like, you know, some premiere places don't get me as upset. But disgusting World Star Hip Hop, whatever. It's Fork by fucking 2 Chainz, so it's fine. I wonder if that'll sneak into the top 10. Right now it's not doing so hot. It's only got like 20,000 views, and that's on a clean and explicit version numbers being contributed. But the video's all right. I like the song. I like the song better than the video.
I think it was pretty good. Which was like a singular performance video by 2 Chainz, and he kind of carried it off.
the concept of the song is, what if rap didn't work? And it's like he would just be dealing drugs and still be making lots of money. So much money that it won't even fold.
Oh, man. Much money, it wouldn't even fold? Wow.
That's crazy. I played that song for my mom tonight, and I taught her the lyrics.
And how about Scott Cudmore this week, director? Two music videos.
Two videos, and both of them are pretty weird. I mean, I guess that's, you could say that about a lot of Scott Cudmore music videos, but both of them were really good.
I think the weirdest of the two is Birthday by Royal Canoe.
It is weird. It's a really good video, though.
It's a fantastic video. Yeah, it has there are certain images that just kind of stick in your head, and there's this one image of this kind of middle-aged lady with a grocery bag kind of looking up into the sky, and then she looks down and notices that there is a stream of blue liquid shooting out of her grocery bag, and her like, 4-year-old son has his mouth open. It was just like pouring all over his face and his mouth, and it's just one of those things that does not belong anywhere. Maybe not in a music video, but I thought it was hilarious. The whole video was just their kids' birthday party at the diner, and the kids are all, they're opening the presents, and it's a picture of the guy who's at the other booth.
I liked it, actually.
Yeah, it was great.
I think we're gonna have to add that to the staff pick too. Scott Cudmore with 2 staff picks this week.
I hate to say this, but it definitely had I find this is overused, but it definitely had a David Lynch vibe to it. I don't like it. So I love David Lynch, and I find that it gets used a lot too often. But this definitely felt like actually a scene from Mulholland Drive. It's almost similar at a diner with two people talking.
That's true, and yeah.
It's a similar, actually, the way the scene plays out and all the other crazy shit. People turning into other people.
Yeah, and it seems a little, it's like brighter, I guess, than what I would think of as a David Lynch.
Well, thing. And they even do that that ambient drone there at one point where it's just on, like nothing's happening, and then it like stops and then something happens, and I was like, okay, this is David Lynch.
So there's Adam calling Scott Kilmer out for ripping David Lynch off. There
we go. not ripping off. It was definitely intentional, but I did feel like he was going for that.
It was a reference
for a Lynchian tribute.
Like hit him with the folk. Sorry.
I'm still laughing at this cat in this video.
The cat movie. Butthole.
Not the butthole. I've always been. Did you guys remember the like back in the mid to late 90s, there was a really popular shirt that all of the crazy cat girls wore that was like three cats. There are drawings of cats. Three cats walking towards you on the front. But on the back, it was a drawing of the three cats' butts, but the cat buttholes were so, like graphically illustrated. That just, that shirt, and the girls.
Who wore this?
The crazy cat girls, you know.
You know, those girls.
The ones who ate the paste. And, you know, I. And I just was always so just viscerally freaked out about this.
Are you sure it was a shirt and it wasn't a sweater?
No, it was a shirt. This is South Florida, so nobody's wearing sweaters.
You know, sweaters. Fucking sweaters.
But this is a good week. I'm excited to see the Rihanna video tomorrow. And if you want to, every month we recap the top videos and stuff and all sorts of information about what happened the previous month. And you can actually go to imvdb.com/newsletter and sign up for it right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not up right now, but it will be by the time we get this out. so you should also go to facebook.com/imvdb, twitter.com/imvdb, and of course, fringemusicfix.com, which adds a lot of the day-to-day videos and also beats us to tweeting about them for most of them. So if you want to stay up on not just the music videos, but also the music, then go to Fringe Music Fix.
All right.
Cool. See you guys.
Yeah.